The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
All right, good morning. It ain't Tom. Big Tom is with the Kentucky Wildcats in Arkansas for tonight's game. It's game day for the Cats. They play Arkansas tonight on the road in Fayetteville. 9 o'clock tip-off, another late game for the Cats on ESPN. So in the big chair, Ryan Lemon with my good friend and adopted son, Shannon T. Dude. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Doing well. Another 9 o'clock game tonight. I know you're a big fan of those. Keeps you up late.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, I know I'm getting older, but man, those 9 o'clock games.
Do you find yourself nodding off about three quarters into the game?
Yeah, like the TV timeouts in the second half. I close my eyes and wake up, and the game's already started again. I mean, I know I sound like my grandpa right now for crying out loud, but it's tough. So 9 o'clock. So that means our KSR pregame show will be at 6:30 tonight. I'll get ready for Kentucky and Arkansas. Arkansas, Shannon, a 5-point favorite going into the game.
I saw that, yeah. And they're 14-1 at home, which is the thing that scares me more than anything. And they're one of about six or seven teams who are fighting for that double bye in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, they are tough at home at Bud Walton Arena. Their one game that they lost at home was LSU, like, drilled them. I think it was like 20 points or something like that. LSU beat them pretty bad. Other than that, they're on a roll. They've won four in a row, and as you know, in the SEC this year, to win four in a row, that's saying something.
Yeah, you got a bunch of teams there at 8-6, Kentucky at 7-7. So if they can win tonight somehow, they're right back up there in the conversation with Kentucky possibly being in the top four in the SEC.
Now, just if you'd ask me before I looked at it, Coach Cal has had problems against Arkansas and against Mike Anderson, and then I looked. Kentucky's won the last five in a row against Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the 2014 season with the Twins, that's when Arkansas swept Kentucky. They won over there. That was the famous Rod Winkler game. What, I a man, you a man, he a man, that game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then Arkansas came over to Rupp and won also in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But Cal and Kentucky's won the last five. That kind of surprised me a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that till actually I had the conversation on the show before about that. But, yeah, I didn't – you know, it seems like we always struggle against Arkansas, but
– I thought – yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does.
I guess we're still thinking about Nolan Richardson, you know. When you think Arkansas, that's what I think. We used to always struggle there, but, you know, that's been a long time ago.
Even Cal's early years here at Kentucky, I think I kind of feel like his team struggled against Arkansas and Mike Anderson. But regardless, I mean, it's like Shannon said, big game. If Kentucky wants to kind of improve themselves in the SEC tournament, I saw KSR posted yesterday. If the SEC tournament started today, Kentucky would be a 7 seed. Oof. In the SEC tournament, playing LSU in the first round. You got to like your chances there. And then if you win, you play Tennessee in the second round. Now, Tennessee's beat you twice, but, man, come on. They're not going to beat you three times, are they?
I don't think so. And if that doesn't tell you how good the SEC has been this year, just think about last game before they beat Alabama. We were having the conversation. They were only 2 games from the bottom of the SEC from playing on Wednesday. Now we're having the conversation after just one win. Now they're possibly in the conversation of being in the top four. And getting the double bye. So that just shows you how, you know, it's been a logjam in the SEC standings all year, pretty much.
The other team in their bracket then would be Florida as the 3 seed. So Kentucky, if it started today at the SEC tournament, will be in the same bracket with Tennessee and Florida. The other bracket then would be Auburn and Alabama. So I kind of like that, if that's the way it plays out. But, you know, you win tonight, you improve your chances, maybe try to get that double bye and don't have to play on Thursday.
Got a lot of work to do, though. A lot of work to do. You know, you should get Ole Miss coming up. If you look at the schedule coming up, you should get Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Tonight's going to be really tough. Missouri's going to – that's not going to be an easy game either, but at least it's home, so I feel better about that.
I like that. Just exactly what you said. Just because it's at home.
And then Florida on the road, you never know. I mean, Florida's been up and down this year. So
yeah, that's their senior day.
Yeah, I know. If they can just go 2-2, it doesn't – I mean, it's like it's every game almost it feels like is a tough game.
Yeah. Well, we said that going into the six-game stretch, okay, win 3 of 6.
Yep.
All right, well, you lost to Auburn, but you beat Alabama. Okay, so, we're still on track.
So go 2-2.
2-2.
So they can afford to drop tonight and be okay.
Yeah, and I feel like they probably will lose tonight. I don't know. I had already conceded that they were going to lose at least 3 of these road games in February.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've already lost at A&M. They've already lost at Auburn. I kind of thought they might lose this one, and they still got to go to Florida yet. So I don't know. But they did play better against Alabama. They did show me some signs of life, and more importantly, got the fan base. The morale of the fan base needed that win more than anything. Don't you agree?
No doubt about it. And got two more games coming up. Hopefully the fans and the enthusiasm will be there for these games because they're going to need them. I mean, Missouri, even though it's at home, like I said, that's not going to be an automatic win. Yeah. We're going to definitely need the fan base to rally behind this team.
A couple other just little tidbits before we go to our first break, because this is the Wildcat News of the Day, Shannon, presented by Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Christian County three-star quarterback Colby Lange announced yesterday he will be a preferred walk-on the Kentucky football program. He's 6'6", 6'6", lefty quarterback, Shannon. Ooh. Set all the passing records at Christian County High School. He's going to be a preferred walk-on with Kentucky. So you kind of got to like that, right?
Yeah, big lefty.
Big lefty.
Last time we had a big lefty, it worked out pretty good for us. And he wasn't a walk-on, obviously, but you got to like it.
I like it. And John Wall announced yesterday he's going to return to Kentucky for the summer to finish his degree, as promised to his dad. That got a lot of play yesterday about, you know, these one-and-done guys, Shannon, they quit going to school at Christmas of their freshman year. They don't care about getting their degree and going to class.
Mm-hmm. That's been the narrative. That's what you always hear. But
yep. And the UK baseball game, the reason I'm doing the show today, the baseball game, their home opener, it's their 50th season of baseball at Kentucky, and this is their last season at Cliff Hagan Stadium. So it's the last home opener at Cliff Hagan Stadium. Opens today. They play Xavier at 6. It was supposed to be tomorrow. Lots of rain in the forecast, so they moved it to today. We had to rearrange some things. That's why Tom couldn't have the equipment down in Arkansas. So I got the call out of the bullpen today here on Baseball Day, Shannon, to come in and do the Leach Report.
Yep. You never were a pitcher, were you?
I pitched one inning of college baseball.
Did you
hear that story?
I don't think you've ever told me.
I played all 9 positions in my last collegiate baseball game. All 9.
Are you serious?
Yes, I did. Yeah. My coach kind of did Denny Potts, Kentucky Wesleyan, shout out,
mm-hmm.
Kind of wanted to reward me for my last game. We were on the road at Ashland. And I got to play all 9 positions in the game, so I pitched the last inning.
How'd it go for you?
I threw 4 pitches. The first guy hit a bomb to center field. First pitch, a bomb. Guy caught it at the warning track.
Yeah.
Second pitch, guy hits a bomb.
No.
To left field.
No.
I mean, crushed it.
Yeah.
Guy caught it at the warning track. Next guy. I threw a ball, I think, and then I threw one. He was so far out ahead of it, he hit a little weak little grounder to third base. Boom out.
Yep.
So my career ERA, 0.00.
There you go.
Why is that not in the record book?
It should be. I think there's a minimum inning pitched asterisk next to that.
This is the Leach Report served up by Wild Eggs. And we come back. Chuck Barrett, the play-by-play guy from Arkansas. We'll talk a little baseball later with Matt May. Tom Leach, he's going to join us, Shane. I guess he has to. It's like, you know, we're the substitute teacher. He's got to stick his head in the door to make sure we're doing okay.
Yeah, it is his show. He can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants. Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. Today's lineup presented by Sleep Outfitters. We'll be right back.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
I was waiting for the hit right there. Good song, Shannon.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Leach Report presented by Wild Eggs. Ryan Lim in the big chair for Shannon the Dude. For Tom Leach with Shannon the Dude. You're on like three different shows in the morning. You're on Morning Tip Off with Michael Bennett,
yep.
Leach Report with Tom, and
yep.
then KSR with Matt and that other doofus.
Yep.
So you got a full boat.
And then my own show in the afternoons on QMF.
But of course, you get paid highly for all that work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not get into that conversation.
Joined now by the Arkansas play-by-play guy, Chuck Barrett, who joins us now from Fayetteville. Tom in Fayetteville as well. He went on with the team last night to get ready for the big game tonight at Bud Walton Arena. Hello, Chuck. How you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing well. Hope you guys are too.
I was a little shocked when I saw that Arkansas had lost the last five against Kentucky. Because when I think about Arkansas and Kentucky, I think, man, Arkansas, they always play Kentucky well. I would have even guessed they had a winning record against Kentucky since Cal had been here.
Well, there aren't many that have had winning records against Kentucky. And the last five have certainly gone Kentucky's way. The last time Arkansas won was in Fayetteville anyway, was on the dunk by Michael Qualls in overtime,
right.
And I think they've
yeah.
had a win up there since. But, yeah, the last five have gone Kentucky's way, and we've got a senior class at Arkansas that's never beaten Kentucky, and I think that's one of their motivations tonight.
That just surprises me. I know Mike Anderson in Arkansas seems to always play Kentucky well, and it surprised me that this senior class is yet to have a W against Kentucky.
Right.
What about the narrative? I saw some guys have already kind of written about it. Arkansas's senior heavy team and Kentucky's freshman laden team. Do you buy into any of that? And is that a huge plus for Arkansas tonight?
Well, I think it could be. Ultimately, when you get out there on the floor, there are a lot of freshmen that have success in college basketball. You know that you're going to get this from Kentucky. I mean, this is the MO, and it's been very successful for them. And you understand that every year when you play them, you're going to see players you've not seen before. And, a guy that's a sophomore or a junior's, qualifies as a veteran, really. But, this is an Arkansas team that that does have six seniors, and all of them play a role. And they've been really good at home. It's not been quite as good, frankly, on the road as I think a lot of people expected from such a veteran team. The league's a lot better. And that's got something to do with it. But at home, this team shot the ball very well, and they get in a rhythm, and they're 14-1 in their building this year. So it certainly has mattered on the home floor, I'll put it that way.
And not just 14-1, they've won four in a row. And to do that this year in the SEC, that's saying something, partner.
Well, it is. I mean, this league's balanced, and I think that's one of the things that fans and media and really all of us are going to have to adjust our thinking on is, if the league is better, as we all say that it is, just because you're 10-8 or 11-7 and you're accustomed to being, 13-5 or 14-4, doesn't mean you're not any good. Doesn't mean that you're necessarily down. It just means that the rest of the league has come up a little bit. I know this may not be to this point a vintage Kentucky team in a lot of fans' eyes, but the thing that they are still very good at is using their length to lock you down defensively, and I think that's going to be one of the real things to watch tonight. Is Arkansas's defense has been really good the last four games, and Kentucky, in terms of their offense, may not be the greatest Kentucky team ever, although they're pretty good off the glass. But defensively, they can use their length and lock you down. And I think that's one of the keys tonight for Arkansas is the shots that they've been accustomed to getting at home. Will they get them tonight? I'm going to tell you, there's been times when Kentucky's thrown a little zone at Arkansas the last 4 or 5 years, and they just couldn't penetrate it. And I think that's going to be one of the real things to watch tonight.
What is your feeling, and what's the feeling down there about their NCAA tournament resume now?
I think the feeling is that they're in, but it's not necessarily something where they could just go in the tank and still be pretty. They've got four really tough games to go. You've got Kentucky here, then you go to Alabama, then you've got Auburn here, then you go to Missouri. You could win or lose.
That's their last four games?
That's the four games. And
wow.
So to sit here and say anybody feels safe at this point, I don't think anybody feels safe. If it ended today, they'd be in, yeah. But it doesn't end today. So you've just got to keep going out winning games. They've won 7 of 9. They've beaten good teams this year. They've beaten the last three ranked teams that they've played. They've got a resume that's worthy of inclusion today, but you know, you've still got to keep going. People want right. to put the bracket together today, and that's fun to do, but it doesn't matter.
Chuck, we appreciate it. We'll be tuning in tonight. Obviously, on our side, you and Tom Leach down there doing the game tonight. 9 o'clock tip-off Eastern time, yeah. 8 Central, Kentucky and Arkansas. I think it'll be a war, Chuck. I think it'll just be one of those all-out SEC wars. Yeah. Chuck,
I don't know how many made shots we're going to see, but I'll bet we see a lot of lockdown defense tonight.
Good point. You're right. All right, Chuck, appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, that is Chuck Barrett, the voice of the play-by-play voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Of course, he joins Leach Report, presented by Sleep Outfitters. We'll be right back. Try to get to talk a little UK baseball with Matt May on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Leach Report. Ryan Lemon in the big chair for Tom Leach. Shannon the Dude in Louisville. Tom, of course, as we said, with the Cats in Fayetteville for tonight's game with Arkansas. 502-571-1080. That's the phone number if you want to try to call and get on board. But we do, Shannon, have a celebrity on that we need to get on as soon as possible. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do.
Mr. Chevy Chase himself, president of the Chevy Chase Romney Road Kroger Association. He knows all. He is all. He is the most eligible bachelor in the state of Kentucky. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Short. Hello, John Short.
Hello, Ryan Lemon.
How are you today, sir?
Well, so I was one thing. Ready for our games tonight. Ready for our two games tonight.
Well, what time did you get up this morning? That's what I want to know.
I got about 5 this morning.
5 o'clock this morning, John. That's a little early.
It's okay.
What do you do at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Well, just went on and got a shower this morning and took Ellie Mae for a walk at 7 o'clock this morning.
Ellie Mae went for a walk at 7 o'clock. That's good. Now, do you listen to the morning tip-off with Shannon the Dude and Michael Bennett in the morning?
I don't listen to that. That's not on here at Lexington, I don't think.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Not on Lexington yet. We got to work on that. We'll get that on Lexington. So what do you listen in the morning then before the Leach Report comes on?
Oh, well, not especially here just... No, I just go on. You just have to get ready to go on and eat breakfast and take LMA for a walk.
Gotcha. Now, Kentucky's a 5-point underdog tonight, John. 5 points. But I'll say this. You predicted Kentucky to beat Alabama by 10 biggins. How many did they beat them by?
10 biggins.
John, I trust you. So tell me what's going to happen tonight.
We're going to win tonight by 10 biggins over Xavier and Arkansas.
Oh, you're picking the Xavier baseball win over Xavier by 10 runs and yep. beating Arkansas in basketball by 10 biggins.
That's right. We lost to South Carolina easily last Sunday in women's basketball.
Yeah, we did. They kind of ran us out of the gym there, didn't they, a little bit?
Yeah, but Macy Morris, they can take it 35 points, and she ought to be a player of the year, not Asia Wilson of South Carolina. Give it a player of the year to Macy Morris.
What I saw, she's only the third UK women's player to ever score over 30. You know who the other two are?
Michaela Epps and also Valerie Steele.
That's it. Very good, John. I knew you'd know that. So, all right, my man, we got to get out here and take a commercial break. You have a good day today, okay?
If I continue to post it, you're probably 30 points. I haven't said Leslie Nichols.
You're probably right. I don't doubt you, John. John, you have a good day, my friend. All right, okie dokie. Peace out, homie. That's our good friend, John Short. All right, we'll take our break. We got Tom Leach coming up from Fayetteville. We come back. Leach Report served up by Wild Eggs.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Leach Report served up by Wild Eggs. Ryan Lemon in the big chair with Shannon the Dude. And Shannon, when it's your show, you can come on whenever you want, wherever you want, however you want. Is that correct?
That's right. It's Tom's world. We're just living in it.
That's exactly right. Tom Leach calls the shots and we just follow along. We join now Mr. Tom Leach. We have to call him Mr. too, Shannon, when we introduce him. Mr. Tom Leach joins us on his show, The Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. Hello, Mr. Leach.
How are you?
You're like the principal who sticks their head in the door when the substitute teacher's got the class, I think, right now. Is that what it is?
Something like that, yeah. From beautiful Fayetteville, Arkansas.
How was the trip down? The guys, how do they seem as they get ready to go do their walkthrough and then play the game tonight?
Yeah, shoot around. We'll be here in about two and a half hours. So we'll see how they look then. Apparently, if you are just a person who is fed up with the internet, think it's controlling your life, you need to come to Fayetteville, Arkansas. You won't have to deal with it.
Having some connection problems, you're saying today.
Yes.
Well, maybe that'd be good. They won't be on their phones all day and playing.
That could be true. They'll have to focus.
Have to focus on the game tonight. Absolutely. We had Chuck Barrett on earlier in the show, and you know he said he's expecting probably a lot of missed shots tonight because both teams will be playing lockdown defenses. Do you kind of see that, how it's going to play out?
Yeah, probably so. You know, Kentucky hasn't shot over 50% in a while now, so they have got to become the kind of offensive rebounding team that we saw on Saturday. I don't think you can count on getting 20 every game, but you know, they've got to be really good offensive rebounding team. And the other two things, we saw a lot of progress, I thought, on Saturday. The two things to have a better chance to make a little noise in March, you'd like to see them keep the turnovers down somewhere around 12. I think it was 13 on Saturday, so that wasn't too bad. And then they've had some high turnover counts. And then the other thing is to become a little better three-point shooting team. You know, Wenyan was up over 40%. He was up close to 45% at one time. He is on a long dry spell now, something like two for his last, something like 20. And hopefully he's one of those guys that's in the gym getting up extra shots because, you know, if they could get him back to knocking down the occasional three, and then you've got Knox, Quade seemed to get back on track Saturday. Like to see Shea hit the occasional three. There were several games back in December, November, when they had six different guys make one. You know, if they can get up around six or seven, that's fine. But, you know, it's hard to win game after game if you're getting two or three or four threes and the other guy's getting seven, eight, or nine.
It seems like, too, that Cal has kind of settled in on maybe, you know, going with these smaller lineups with Shea, Quade, Knox, and then some sort of two of the three between Vanderbilt, Wenyan, and PJ. Tonight against Arkansas, do you think that's going to be even more prevalent?
Could be. I like the look of that group that was in there at the end on Saturday. They started this down at Auburn playing Jared Vanderbilt in the five spot some.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I think they like how that looks. I think he's, you know, good in that pick and roll in the middle. Obviously, he can roll to the basket, and that's where he needs to be, around the basket when he takes shots, obviously. And then he's such a good passer. If you hit him off a roll, off, you know, they double team Shea, and you throw it to Jared, then he found PJ once for a high low basket on Saturday. So he's really good at finding his teammates for passes. And, you know, on the defensive end, if he's guarding the five man, he's probably around the basket a little bit more, so he might block a couple shots. And I just think the more they can get out of Jared, the better I like it. I think that probably diminishes Sasha's role and Nick's to a certain extent, because you get three guys maybe in a rotation at the five spot and instead of two. But I think, you know, what we're starting to see maybe is finally finding out how all these various pieces fit together. We talked about you know, how they're positionless players, and that's great on one hand, but there's a challenge in terms of if the guys don't have natural positions, then how do you put the right five together? And they may have started to find out what that looks like.
I agree. Like I said, that combination of Vanderbilt, Wenyan, and PJ, just getting two of those three at a time at the right time, they really played well against Alabama. PJ was non-existent the first half, but then the second half, and he came out and gave you some muscle and some good minutes inside.
Yeah, you know, maybe he becomes your back to the basket scorer, and you see, you can use Jared at the high post some. Then Hami, as hopefully he finds his game, he can, you know, he's in the rotation somewhere there as a third guard, and then, you know, I think he's a guy that's, if he gets back to his best form, then he'll get more minutes, and you'll figure a way to put him into the mix. And if not, you'll you know, continue kind of how it was down the stretch on Saturday. But I thought he was better on Saturday, in that you look at his line, He didn't make shots, but I thought almost all of the shots he took were the kind of shots they want him to take. So that's the first major step in the right direction. He only had one turnover. He had four rebounds. And about a month ago, I remember Kenny Payne filled in for Cal on one of the pregame interviews, and he said what he told Tommy is, you need to be a guy that stuffs the stat sheet, get a few rebounds, get a steal or two, get a couple
right.
of assists,
yeah.
and get to the free throw line, and then maybe you find your way to 10, 12 points. And that's the thing with this team is, for a while there, it was just hard to see how they were going to come up with enough points to win, and obviously they didn't. But now, looks like maybe Jared Vanderbilt, he could become a guy you might be able to count on for 10 and 10.
Exactly,
and then,
yes.
You count on PJ for 12 and Kevin Knox for 15, and Shea's going to get you 10 to 12 and Quad A, 8 to 10. And all of a sudden, you start adding up the numbers, and then you get up, north of 70, and you can win games. When you got guys scoring 5-6 points a game, and the best you can do is get to about 60, it's hard to win. Easy, obviously.
I wanted to ask you about Cal, because last couple weeks, he has said some things to you, like during the post game show, that was he said this is getting old, and the other night against Auburn he said it's supposed to be good for your soul. I wish it was for somebody else's soul. With four games left, where is Cal now with this team and what's going on?
I think you'd probably better be able to answer that at the end of this week and then the end of the next week to see, because we all thought maybe the West Virginia game was a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Looking back, it was maybe just Kevin Knox had a great game because they reverted back to some things that they some bad habits. I thought on Saturday, what I saw is I watched practice on Friday and I watched all the shoot-arounds. And Mike and I would see these things in shoot-arounds. The coaches go over and then it gets in the game and it's like, that's just what he told you this morning at the shoot-around. Why did you not do, and that's just what you're thinking in your head, why did they not do what they were coached to do? This was maybe last Saturday the best performance I've seen all season of executing what they were coached to do. And if that continues, then I think he's going to be real happy.
Yeah, I think maybe it was the Auburn game where something happened and Mike said, coach just went over that in the shoot. You can hear the frustration in his voice.
Yeah, there's a play at Texas A&M where they told them how, they were going to put Williams on the ball.
Maybe that's
how
what
you
it
had
was.
To, how you had to go up against that, how you had to, execute against that to get the ball inbounded. And they threw it away. And it's like, it was just 4 hours ago he told you how to do this.
Yeah.
Or one of your coaches,
that may have been it.
Did somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, as a coach, that's what drives you crazy. If you see guys go out there, if they miss shots, but they're taking the right, like I said with Hami, if they're taking the shots you want them to take, you can live with missed shots. Sometimes they don't go in, but if they're doing trying to do what you tell them to do, and execute, then you think, then you feel good that you're on the right track, and, then it just becomes a, are you better than the other guy?
So what's the whole key tonight? If Kentucky's going to pull this one out on the road, what needs to happen tonight?
Oh, well, I would think right at the top of the list always against Arkansas is turnovers. I mean, you have, up around 20. Think of the spectrum from 12 to 20. The closer to 12, the better chance to win. The closer to 20, and you're not going to win. So they feed off turnovers, and that's the first big thing. And then, Kentucky's got a size advantage, I think, overall. So hit that offensive board.
He is Tom Leach, and this is his show. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, Shannon. He wants to come on again later. If he forgot something, we'll bring him on, right?
That's fine with me.
Whatever he wants to do.
Yep.
All right, Tom, we appreciate
it. Have a good day, boys.
All right, see you, Tom.
Your broadcast, the pregame show. Our pregame show begins at 6:30. The network pregame show will be in at 7:30. Tip off at 9 o'clock tonight, Kentucky at Arkansas. All right, we'll take another break, come back, bring up Larry Vaught, talk a couple more topics with him as he is on our guest lineup presented by Sleep Outfitters. This is The Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. We'll be right back.
This is The Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
With a little love. There you go, man. Put you right in a great mood. A little Hootie and the Blowfish right there. Cracked rear view. Yeah. Had like five number one hits off that album, Shannon.
I have that album somewhere.
Oh, yeah. You should have it. Everybody should have it.
5 million people do.
I just read a great article on him just this weekend because he's a big South Carolina guy. You know, he went to South Carolina, formed the band Hootie the Blowfish while he was a student at the University of South Carolina. So it was kind of good talking about it. All right. Leach Report served up by Wild Eggs. Go back to our guest lineup presented by Sleep Outfitters, and we find the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Larry Vaught, Mr. Danville himself. How are you, Larry?
I'm great. I can't believe it took you that long to figure out that Hootie went to South Carolina.
Oh, no. The article was talking about his days there. It was a good article. I knew that. Okay. Are you kidding? Dude, I know everything. He's 51 years old. His birthday's in May. Come on, man. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, I thought surely you knew that before just the other day.
That's his Man Crush Monday every day.
Oh, it's a little bit. It's way overboard, a Man Crush. I got to tell you, Larry, I appreciate this story. This got nothing to do with sports. But one day, Amanda and I woke up, and Amanda looks at me all lovingly and glowingly, and she said, I just had the sweetest dream about you. And I said to her, I just had a dream I met Darius Rucker. Because it was true. I did. It was being honest.
I bet that went over really well, too.
Didn't go over well at all. No. All right, Larry. I know you had to be happy about the big win over Alabama. I know you had to be happy with the way they played, but I know nothing made you happier than seeing the Firecrackers perform at halftime.
That's right, because you know what? Kentucky has never lost a game when the Firecrackers performed at Rupp Arena.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that right? Is that true?
Well, of course it's true. Of course, Kentucky doesn't normally lose many games, period, at Rupp Arena, but that's just a little added fact for you to store away for next year.
Can we fly them down to Fayetteville for tonight then, Larry?
They are coming to the SEC tournament and going to be performing in the semifinals.
Well, very good. If we can get to the semifinals, then we got to feel pretty good about our chances then.
That's the way I'm looking at it. If they can get to the semifinals, I think then they'll get to the final because the Firecrackers will be there.
I saw that if the tournament started today, Kentucky would be a 7 seed in the SEC tournament. Where do you think they'll end up?
I think we'll know in the morning. I think if they win this game tonight, I actually think they could play themselves into where they get a bye into the quarterfinals.
That's huge. Man, you get that double bye at the SEC tournament, huge. I know Matt and I were talking about it. Matt pointed out you don't want to be the 6 seed because if you're the 6 seed, you play that late game on Thursday night, late game on Friday night just to get into the semifinals.
Well, is that because we don't want them to play that game or because you think it really matters that much?
Well, it'd be tough to play a 10 o'clock tip-off game on Thursday. I mean, on Friday, Thursday, and a 10 o'clock tip-off game on Friday. I have to come back and play Saturday afternoon.
It would be, but it'd be hard on you, too, to have to go to those 10 o'clock games.
Well, of course. What are you talking about? I'm not crazy.
So sometimes I think we overestimate or emphasize when guys that age, I don't know that it bothers them as much as what we think maybe it does. In fact, at times this year, I thought maybe if the team just played back-to-back-to-back instead of practicing in between, it might be better because how many times we heard Calipari say they don't listen to him anyway?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's been his narrative here lately. He always says, you know, like we have some guys that don't listen and don't trust. I mean, I don't know, that's his thing he said for the last several weeks.
But it seemed to change a little bit on Saturday, and I think a lot of it had to do with Quaddie Green, and not just because he made shots, but with the way that he played defense or made an effort to play defense, made you able to leave him in late in games, where sometimes late in games they haven't done that, and I think there's no doubt their offense flows better with him in the game if he can just be adequate on defense. And as the last couple of games, he's been adequate because his effort on defense has suddenly been much, much better.
You know, Quaddie was the MVP of the game, offensively and defensively on Colin Sexton, wasn't it?
He was. I thought Sexton would just destroy him based on what we had seen, even based on what I saw at the McDonald's All-American game last year. But when Quaddie stood in there and took a charge, that was what early in the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was first half.
And at the McDonald's All-American game last year when I went, he was standing in there and taking charges in practice, something I'd never seen up there. And I thought, wow, this guy's going to be just like Tyler Ulis. He's going to be just a phenom on defense because he understands positioning. And yet he had never shown any propensity for doing that here at Kentucky. And so when he did that, I thought, wow, this is like the Quaddie Green we saw play last March. Maybe something's kind of changed for him. And I still think he's not going to be a Tyler Ulis-like defender, but he can be a lot better than what he has been for most of the season. In the last couple of games, I think he has been.
I agree. I think he has to be on the floor for them to be successful. I think Vanderbilt has to be on the floor for them to be successful. And that's when they're playing their best right now.
Yeah, it is. And, of course, you've got to have Shea and you've got to have Knox in there, too, because those are the two guys that do your most consistent scoring. And then when you have those four in there, you almost have to have P.J. Washington to make sure you have an inside presence that can score for you. And that's kind of how they finished the game the other night. I think that's what Calipari maybe will do more often. But the thing with this team, it's been hard just to peg anything because there's never anybody consistent enough from game to game. I mean, Kevin Knox was Breed in the first half against Auburn, Breed in the second half against Alabama, and the two halves in between, he could have probably sat with us.
Yeah. Matt figured it up, whatever it was, how many minutes he played and did not score a point.
Almost an entire 40 minutes between.
It was a whole game, I think, worth of basketball. He did not score a point. And when you're the best player, man, you can't disappear like that.
No, and especially tonight, because, Arkansas is going to come after him. And Arkansas, they are now 8-6 in the conference after starting 0-3 that included a home loss to LSU. I mean, they are 8-6, and they've lost, and two of their losses have been to LSU. But they've had some really good wins here lately, too. And if they beat Kentucky tonight, they'll be the only team in the SEC to have a five-game league win streak this year.
Which is crazy. To do that in the SEC this year, that really says something. You're right. They're 14-1 at home. Their one loss was they got beat by LSU like by 20, I think, early January.
Yeah, I don't think it was by 20. It was like, you are right, that they got drilled at home. And so they got beat worse at home than they did on the road when they played at LSU. So that was kind of crazy.
Are you at a doctor's office or something? You're kind of talking kind of soft this morning.
Well, I don't want to do anything to distract the boss.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. That's why you're happy wife, happy life, Larry. I learned that from you.
But plus, you're used to being out with a little bit more excitable crew than me.
Well, we appreciate it, my friend. I know you join Tom every Thursday, and I listen to it, so you always coming in a little earlier this week, aren't you?
Well, it's every Tuesday I join him, which is why I'm on today.
Tuesday. I thought it was every Thursday with Mike Pratt.
No, it's every Tuesday, which is why I'm on today, right?
Until I pay attention.
And I'll be hosting the show for Tom tomorrow. So.
Oh, there you go. See, now everything will be under control tomorrow when Larry Vaught's in the house.
Also, hopefully maybe I'll see you at the end of the show.
I'll be here tomorrow, definitely. Larry, we appreciate it, man. Tell Penny we say hello.
All right, see you guys.
All right, that's Larry Vaught. Penny must have been asleep, Shannon. Penny must have been asleep, yeah. All right, take our break. Come back. Final segment. We'll wrap it here. Loot Report served up by Wild Eggs. Don't go away. We wrap it up here, our Donato slice of UK history. Shannon loves this one. In 2010, John Wall blocks a John Jenkins three-pointer. Kentucky hangs on to beat Vandy, 58-56. And happy birthday today to Orlando Antigua. This has been Leach Report. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at tomleachky.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page.